You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the FWA podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn here in the studio, joined on the line by Steve Bates to look ahead to the weekend's action. We're also going to look back at England, basically all the talking points of the football world as we sit here on Thursday morning. And a very good morning to Steve. How are you, Steve?
Morning, Alex. Yes, fine, thanks, mate. Yeah, all good.
Good. We're going to start by looking back on the FWA podcast this week. Not something that we always do. Often it's looking ahead. But we have to mention England. There hasn't been a podcast since England last played. And it was a very un-England result, if you like, wasn't it, in Sam Allardyce's first game? It was a typical England performance, or something that we've become rather accustomed to in recent years. But this time there was some kind of end product, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. I mean, it took a long time coming, to be fair, didn't it? And not sure what the odds would have been on a 95th minute goal, because I'm sure everybody who had the draw that day would have expected to be quids in. But listen, they got there in the end. I think the big thing about it is that I don't think everybody can expect huge amounts of change in just a few weeks since England crashed out the Euros against Iceland in a pretty dismal fashion. Sam Allardyce hasn't had the players together long. He's new in the job himself. So I think it was always going to be a big ask for to see a revolutionised England, if you like, a completely different England, especially when most of the players were the same. And I think, you know, it was a learning curve for everybody. And I think Sam Allardyce probably glad to get that game out of the way, because it was always fraught with a bit of difficulty start of the season, players coming back at various times from, you know, with their clubs, fitness probably not up to the sort of standard and the level where they normally would like to be. So I think all in all, to go away in a fairly, what you'd probably say is England's toughest away fixture of this World Cup qualifying group, to go away to Slovakia after a disappointing time at the Euros and pick up a 1-0 win, it's quite encouraging, really. I think Sam Allardyce and the players would be delighted, as we saw their reaction to that late goal.
As you mentioned there, probably the most difficult game in the group. I think that speaks volumes for how weak the group is, perhaps. No disrespect there to Slovakia. But it was kind of one of those games, it was almost make or break, wasn't it? If Allardyce had lost that, it's ridiculous to say the pressure would be on him already after one game. But the media would be on his back, wouldn't they?
Yeah, listen, there were a couple of sort of questions around his selection. He didn't include Marcus Rashford, you know, who obviously the weekend of the squad announcement scored a late winner for Manchester United at Hull. So that kind of would have put him under a little bit of pressure. But, you know, all in all, I think he would have settled for a 1-0 win, even in that sort of fashion. And he even said before the game that perhaps a draw wouldn't have been a bad result either. England are not going to be severely tested in this group, let's face it. Malta, Scotland, Lithuania, not really going to trouble England very much, I don't think. So getting off to a win was vital, really, and I think that settled any nerves there might be. And I think England can now step on into this campaign, and probably it has shades in a way of the qualifying campaign for the Euros that Hodgson successfully came through with 10 straight wins. I would probably expect England to do more or less the same.
Yeah, exactly. But it is a little bit difficult for Allardyce in that the players that he's inheriting aren't, well, basically, they are the exact same players that failed in the Euros. And given that they are all fairly young, there's no real old-timers in there, are there? Players that you could be looking to move on. And we've seen Allardyce at club level really mix things up when he joins a club. You know, that he has some players that he likes and some that he doesn't. Obviously, he has what he's stuck with here, in effect, whether that's a good or bad thing. But the fact that he's got to re-motivate the same players that were so disappointing at the Euros in the end, it's a very different challenge for him, isn't it?
Well, it is, because there's a small, let's face it, a very small pool of players to choose from. He's already sort of made that point himself in the build-up to that Slovakia game. And I think, largely, when you've got such a small pool of players, you've got to rely and have trust in the players that you've got. That's why pretty much the team was more or less, you know, the same as it was in the Euros for that Iceland game, you know, one or two little tweaks here and there, but he's not got, you know, a great deal to choose from in many respects. So while he might want to shake it up in the longer term, I think for now he's got to obviously go with the tried and trusted, which is why the Slovakia fixture was always going to be perhaps a bit samey and a bit similar to what we'd seen in the Euros, because he simply didn't have the time to sort of perhaps get across his own message in a bigger way.
And of course, with the slightly weaker group games coming up later on, and as well as friendlies, he will have a chance to experiment, won't he?
Without a doubt. I'm sure he brought in Mikhail Antonio, didn't he, from West Ham? So I'm absolutely certain that there'll be one or two more faces like that.
12-1 for England to win all of their matches in Group F if they can replicate what they did in the Euros, or in the Euro qualifying rather, then 12-1 for that to happen, or just England to go unbeaten in the group, which, now that the most difficult game is out the way, you'd say could be pretty likely. That's even money for England to remain unbeaten in the qualifying for the World Cup.
Yeah, that's a decent bet, I think. When you look at that group, there's not a lot really to trouble England with the quality England have got. And once they get going and get used to Sam's methods, you can't really see them losing a game in that group, to be honest.
OK, then. We'll move on to the domestic action. Seems like a very, very long time since we were last in the Premier League. The longest 2 weeks I can remember. But there's only one place to start, and that is Saturday lunchtime with Manchester United against Manchester City. The Manchester derby coming up from Old Trafford, and it promises to be an absolute cracker for a number of reasons. First and foremost, it's the Manchester derby. It's normally a pretty good game anyway, but then you factor in the Mourinho against Guardiola factor. You factor in all of the new signings that both sides have made for plenty of money. And you factor in that both sides so far are boasting a 100% record in the league so far this season. 3 games, 3 wins for both. We'll start just by profiling each side, Steve. We'll start with Manchester United under Mourinho. They look a completely different side, don't they, to last year? And that's partly thanks to Mourinho and partly thanks to the amount of money that they've spent. But they do look a transformed team, don't they?
They do, and they needed to be changed, because I don't think United were heading in the direction that they wanted to be, and also that their history and tradition demands, to be honest with you. So I think there had to be a change. United have gone for a proven winner in Mourinho, and I think we're already seeing signs early on that he will revolutionise this United team that we've seen over the last 3 years, which really has underperformed. He's already spent a lot of money, of course, but he's brought in proven players. There are no risk buys in what he's brought in. They're all proven sort of players, and obviously in Pogba, who's the world's most expensive player, there is a degree of potential to be realised there. But already, even on the big stage, he's kind of performed for Juventus as well as France as well. So it's not a risk in any way, shape or form. It's just, I think, that the thing for Jose Mourinho is trying to find, that correct balance. He's got a lot of players in the squad. He's got people knocking on the door. Rashford, obviously, who hasn't really started a game for United yet in the league, scored a hat-trick for England under 21s midweek. So he's knocking on the door, especially after his late winner at Hull in the last Premier League game. So, there are sort of selection issues for Mourinho to address. But I think, what he has done, he's assembled a group of players who are clearly very determined to make a mark in the Premier League this season. And I think we've seen that already by the confident way they've started.
As for Manchester City, well, different in that we talk about Man United there, and they have kept 2 clean sheets out of the 3 games and conceded what was, in effect, a consolation, if you like, against Bournemouth. Man City have changed things up quite a bit. They've conceded in every game so far. We know Joe Hart has obviously gone to Torino. Willy Caballero is playing at the minute. Obviously, they've signed Claudio Bravo as well. They have changed things a lot, Man City, in terms of personnel and in terms of the way they play. With Mourinho, it almost seems a sort of gradual progression. With Man City, it's almost like not exactly scrapping everything that they've done for the last few years, but certainly a very, very different philosophy under Pep, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it was always going to be, because Pep Guardiola plays one way. We've seen that with Barcelona. We've also seen it at Bayern Munich. He has a set way of playing. And even though he's coming into the Premier League, which is a hugely different league to Bundesliga and La Liga. You know, he still believes that that philosophy is his, will be a viable option in the Premier League. And I think we've already seen probably that 3 wins from 3, he's not wrong, and they will only get better. And I'm sure he's going into this derby with real confidence because doing some stats earlier, of the 16 meetings he's had with Jose Mourinho, Guardiola's won 7 to Jose's 3. So that tells you he, tactically, he's had the edge on Mourinho in the past. But this, of course, is a very different game. A Manchester derby that he's never been involved in before. So we will see.
Well, there's two ways this could go. It could be an absolute thriller, a classic for the ages, or it could be a tactical stalemate, couldn't it, that fizzles out into a bit of a bore draw. Which way do you see this going?
Sure. To be honest, I can see a draw. 1-1, probably. I think it will be a fairly tactical battle. Neither manager will want to lose, particularly Mourinho at home. But, of course, you know, you can't really predict what's going to happen here. It depends how these players come back from international duty, who's fit, who's available. City may well give debuts to Gundogan and Sane, who have not yet played. They're fit again. Aguero's banned, of course. So he has to, Guardiola has to make a decision up front. Does he play Iheanacho through the middle, or does he bring Nolito off the left side and play him through the middle? So it will be a fairly tactical battle, I think. But the way United have started with obviously Zlatan Ibrahimovic being you know, at the forefront of what United are doing at the moment, Pogba will be expected to shine, I'm sure, in this derby, and he will want to sort of put down his own marker. So I think it's going to be an absolutely fascinating contest. I just hope that the pre-match hype and billing is lived up to, because quite often when you get these kind of overhyped sort of games, they sometimes fizzle out. But there's enough quality on that pitch. And of course, one of these 100% records is going to go, isn't it, on Saturday lunchtime. They both can't win. That's why I suspect a draw will not be a disaster for either side, although obviously the onus will be on Manchester United and Jose Mourinho to find a way to win. And that is the key, I think, for me. Mourinho has always found a way in the past to win tactical battles. I remember watching his Chelsea team at Manchester City a season or two ago when they absolutely put on a tactical masterclass at the Etihad. And, you know, City were expected to win, but Jose just kind of locked them down, basically, and nicked victory. And I'm sure, you know, if he can plot that again, he'd be delighted to do so.
The draw is 23-10. The one-all draw in at 6-1 as well. There's plenty of specials on the William Hill website. For example, Rooney to score Man United to win. That's been enhanced from 7-2 out to 5-1. Nolito to score Man City to win was 5-1 and is now 7-1. Obviously, you mentioned there, with no Sergio Aguero, it might be a chance for Nolito to really step up. Not that he's made a bad start to his Manchester City career, but could be played through the middle there. There's plenty of markets to get stuck into on the website, and it should be an absolutely fascinating encounter. Steve going plumping for the draw there in the Manchester derby. Just one more thing. We've got specials on the website for both Man City and Manchester United in terms of trophy multiples. Which ones will they win, basically? So we'll start with Manchester United to win no trophies, 8-15. So by far and away the most likely. But then all the doubles available. So the Premier League and the Europa League, maybe, or the Premier League and FA Cup coming in at 16s and 14s, respectively. The same for Manchester City, but no trophies here, just 11-10. So, you know, we are banking on just 9-1 to win the Premier League and FA Cup. There's certainly going to be some interest there. And if you think that they can win the Premier League, FA Cup and Champions League, Manchester City, weighing in at 80-1. Pep's won a lot of things, hasn't he? That's a massive ask in his first season. But then again, they've started so impressively. Who's to say that he couldn't do it?
Absolutely. I think Manchester United and Manchester City are more capable than any other teams in this Premier League of winning trophies domestically and in Europe. You know, City had a very, very good run to the semi-finals of the Champions League last season, got beaten by Real Madrid in the semis. You know, can Pep push them on a step further? I think he probably can once they get tuned into what he wants. They've certainly got the quality and the class in that team. Once guys like Gundogan and Sane get used to what he wants, I'm absolutely certain they'll be a threat in Europe. And likewise, I think in Europe, Manchester United will you know, probably have a go at this, because if you think about it, he's got such a big squad, Jose. He's got to keep his players happy. So the longer they stay in the FA Cup, the Carling Cup, the Europa League, the better it will be for him for managing his squad. Mm. What he doesn't want is to be out of all these domestic and European Cup competitions by sort of December. And then he's got a 25-man squad to keep happy going forward when he's probably only playing 14 or 15 of those players on a regular basis. Mm. So I think, you know, there will be a push by both United and City to win some trophies this season. I think they're both capable of it.
I can say with the Manchester United squad, you can legitimately write down two very, very strong starting 11s and still have players left over as well.
Absolutely. I'm sure he'll have two teams for cup competitions and one for the league. We've already seen that he's played more or less the same team in the opening three league games of the season, and I suspect he has got that in mind, that he won't tinker too much with it. But he will have a different look about the team when they play in Europa League and cup games.
Yeah, did have a slightly smaller squad at Chelsea, but stuck to a core of 13 or 14 players, didn't he? So, okay, we'll move on to the other televised games then this weekend. We're going to look at these in slightly less detail than the Manchester Derby, but we'll start with Liverpool-Leicester. That's the tea time kickoff on Saturday, 5:30 for that one. Liverpool are 8-13, the draw is 3-1, and Leicester are 4-1. Very short price here at Liverpool for a side who were fantastic on the opening day at Arsenal, dismal then at Burnley, and then probably found their level in drawing at Spurs last week. It has been a difficult start to the season for them. It's their first home game of the season, of course, as well. But Leicester, the defending champions, they'll have been disappointed to lose at Hull. They were decent enough at home to Arsenal. And then they got their win against Swansea the last time that we saw them. Fascinating encounter, this, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, last season, obviously, when Leicester went on to win the title, they actually lost at Liverpool, didn't they? I think on Boxing Day. Mm. And then from then on kind of picked up and were uncatchable. So this will be another good test for Leicester. Obviously, they're champions now. They've got to go to places like Anfield and perform, basically, if they're champions. They want to perform. And, you know, they've got new faces in their team as well. Just depends, you know, whether Claudio Ranieri feels he's able to integrate those new players in straight away, or whether he's going to go with the tried and trusted, players like Drinkwater, Mahrez and Vardy to try and unlock Liverpool. But it will be a fascinating game, this, because Liverpool have been a bit Jekyll and Hyde so far this season. You know, magnificent against Arsenal, absolute breathtaking football, high tempo, high energy, high pressing game that Klopp loves. Yet it all kind of tumbled down and unravelled against Burnley, which was a real surprise. So I think in front of their own fans, they'll be wanting to put on a show, first home game of the season. Obviously, the new stand at Anfield now will take centre stage on Saturday. Mm. So it's a big night for Liverpool. They'll want to make sure that they get a win in this game. But Leicester, of course, on the counter attack, can be so devastating. And I don't think we've seen properly yet the real Leicester who won the league last year. So this will be, as I say, a good test for them to see whether they can reverse that defeat they had there at Anfield last season.
Mm. OK, if I was going to push you for a selection in the game, which way do you think it's going to go?
I'd go for a Liverpool win, to be honest. I think, you know, the momentum will be with Liverpool. I suspect they will start with a really high sort of tempo and sort of try to overwhelm Leicester, pin them back and try to get a goal or two.
OK. On Sunday, just the one game to look forward to. That's Swansea-Chelsea at 4 o'clock. Swansea are 9-2, the draw is 3-1 and Chelsea are 8-13. Short price for an away side, but Chelsea, another side who started the season perfectly. Three very good wins against Burnley, Watford and West Ham. Maybe not done it the easiest way in a couple of those encounters, but Antonio Conte, another new man who we haven't mentioned yet, and he, of course, has come in and pretty seamless transition. If you take away last year for Chelsea, they just seem to be sort of just getting the job done, which they were so good at doing under Mourinho a couple of years ago. They face a Swansea side here who, yes, they won on the opening day against Burnley, but then disappointing loss at home to Hull, and then they lost at Leicester last time. A few people are tipping Swansea to struggle this season. The odds would reflect that we think that Swansea are likely to struggle in this game as well. Will this be 3 points for Conte's men?
It should be. they've had a fairly, you mentioned they've had a perfect start, which they have. I don't think they've severely been tested yet, if I'm honest. The three games they've had have been all winnable games for a Chelsea side who only two seasons ago were champions, of course. So I don't think they've really been tested yet. Just looking at some past history of this game, Chelsea actually lost at Swansea last season, 1-0, and then drew 3-3 with them at Stamford Bridge. So they were a bit of a bogey side, Swansea, last season. So it'll be interesting to see whether that kind of trend continues. Obviously, he's got a couple of new faces he can bring in, Conte. David Luiz, obviously, transfer deadline day, shock signing back at the club. He's available. So is Alonso, who, again, has got Premier League experience with Bolton. So both those players know what the Premier League is about. So not a gamble to throw those in, I would guess. I would go for a Chelsea win here. I'm absolutely certain that they've got the pedigree to win there. They've got players who are in form. Eden Hazard seems to be back to his best again. Diego Costa is amongst the goals. Conte seems to have hit the ground running with Chelsea this season and really has got them sort of tuned in and playing the way he wants them to. He's very passionate. We've seen him on the touchline kind of celebrating goals when they score. And I think he's building a bit of momentum there at Chelsea. And this is another good game for them, if you like. It's a game they're quite capable of winning. They can hit Swansea. The onus will be on Swansea to come out and attack. But I think Chelsea will comfortably win this game, even though they struggled against Swansea last season.
OK, so Chelsea to get the job done then. Swansea. Then we've got a Monday night game, Sunderland-Everton. Sunderland 13-5, the draw 12-5, and Everton are 21-20. These two, of course, met towards the end of last season in the game that actually relegated Newcastle, with Sunderland absolutely hammering a beleaguered Everton at that time. But since then, both clubs have changed managers, and there's very different feels around both clubs. Sunderland, maybe not with the optimism that they had towards the end of last season, David Moyes in charge, but it's been a bit of a slow start for him. They're without a win yet in the league, but the point they got at Southampton last time certainly isn't the worst one that you'll ever see. As for Everton, very good on the pitch. A draw at home to Tottenham and then wins at West Brom and at home to Stoke. They sort of waited, didn't they, until the dying embers of deadline day to try and make any big business moves, the likes of Moussa Sissoko, who ended up at Spurs. But you get the impression that Everton are a club on the up overall. Sunderland maybe just labouring a little bit under David Moyes so far. But as I said, Everton, we make heavy favourites. They're just odds against here. Do you think that Ronald Koeman is... Well, firstly, do you think he's doing things the right way at Everton? You've certainly seen a bit of a change in the way that they're playing. And secondly, can he get 3 points at the Stadium of Light?
Well, I think he can get 3 points, yes. He is making an impact there. I think it will take a bit of time, but I think already there's a much better feel about Everton than there was last season. It's quite remarkable how the fortunes of these two clubs from that last game that you mentioned, Alex, at the end of the season have changed round. At that point, Sunderland were on the up. Everton were very much on a downward spiral and with Martinez being sacked. And, you know, there was not a great feel-good factor about Everton last season, but I think there's a much better kind of potential for them now to go and do well under Koeman. And I think they will do. Whereas Sunderland obviously got that great win against Everton at the end of the season, which kind of put their great rivals down, of course, and cemented their own safety. But things have sort of not really kicked on from then. And David Moyes is having a bit of a struggle. And I think he'll struggle in this game as well, because obviously Everton will want to do well against their old manager, I think. So I think very much it will be a tough afternoon, I think, for David Moyes.
OK, so Everton to get the 3 points?
Yes, I think it will be an Everton win. Sunderland desperately need a win, but I think Everton have got quite a lot of attacking weaponry at their disposal. I think they'll have too much for Sunderland. I think at this point, Sunderland are kind of, you know, not really got into the groove, and there's a bit of nervous tension about them. And I can see Everton sort of pulling off a victory there, definitely.
OK. Again, plenty of enhanced odds for all of the televised games. If you're looking at the Sunderland-Everton one, the likes of Januzaj, Barkley, Defoe and Lukaku all featured in some kind of enhanced odds offer. But so many markets on the William Hill website, so do take a look at those. In terms of the games that Steve has mentioned, if we put a little fourfold together, So the draw in the Manchester Derby, Liverpool to beat Leicester, Chelsea to win at Swansea and Everton to win at Sunderland. Over 16-1 for that fourfold if you want to get involved with Steve. Thanks very much for your time, Steve. Pleasure talking
to you. Thank you very much.
And we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you. Cheers, Alex.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.